We've been in a series called How to Turn Your Faith Loose for a little bit. Last week, we touched on a certain area of this. We've been talking about right thinking, right believing, right confessing, saying the right thing, believing the right thing, thinking on the right thing. But we turn our faith loose when we do these things. We have to believe in our heart. Go ahead and put up Romans 10:9. We need to believe in our heart. This works two ways. The Bible says here that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you would be saved. Notice faith is in two places. It's in your mouth, or in your heart, and in your mouth. If it's in your mouth, but it's not in your heart, you don't believe anything, that doesn't work. If it's in your heart, but you don't release it, then it's not going to work. You can't just, some people say, well, you know, you can have whatever you say, and so why isn't certain things happening? They take part of that verse and run with it, and that's not what the Bible teaches. We need to believe something, but then we need to say and release something. What you think on is going to get down in your heart, and what we have in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. So all these things work together. We've talked about that a wrong confession is essentially agreeing with Satan. Now, if you were to say that to almost anybody that you see on the street, say, would it be a good idea to agree with Satan? Is that what you want to do in your life? Most people, some people would say probably gung-ho on that, but most people are not going to think, even if they don't know what's going on, that's probably just not the normal answer to be like, oh yeah, it'd be a good thing. Whatever the devil says, that's what I want to do. Whatever Satan says. No, we don't think that's a good idea. But when we confess what he's able to do, what he has done, what we failed at, we are essentially confessing and saying he has dominion over us. That's a wrong confession. Just like when we give glory to God, we talk about giving a testimony to what God has done, his power, his strength, his help. That gives glory to God, right? If we say, God brought me through this, he helped me, he healed my body, he provided for me, he healed my marriage, whatever we say, if we give him glory, or we confess what he has done, that does give him glory. Likewise, if we say, I've been defeated in this area, and you know, I was tempted here, and I fell, and this part is going bad in my life, and this part is going bad, what we're actually doing is giving glory to the devil, to Satan. Knowingly or unknowingly, that's what you're doing. Just like if somebody were to talk about the goodness of God, what he's done, that gives him glory. Well, when you're talking, whether they know it or not, if they're talking about destruction and referring to that and saying how bad it's been, how hard it's been, how I messed up here, you know, how this went wrong in my family's life, the devil is the author of destruction. God's not the author of destruction. So that is giving Satan glory. So we do not want to do that. In our lives, we should not let things come out of our mouth that are going to glorify the devil. Now, this takes mind renewal because the world just automatically goes this way. And it's people can think you're not being real if you don't just lay it all out and tell it like it is. Well, we're not saying be false, but you don't need to go around telling everybody what is wrong. I mean, if you've talked about it once or told somebody, there is nothing to this, just get it all out. If you get it all out, you are actually just yielding to the wrong spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong, you know, you can talk to somebody and tell them what's going on. The goal should be, let's get in faith about it so we can believe for it. Right? Amen. That's what we need to do. If we're talking about something that's going on, we don't deny symptoms, we don't deny conditions. But the point is, to get to the place where we are in faith about that situation. Because if we're not in faith, there's not going to be any change. Just talking is actually going to make us go in the wrong direction if it doesn't go and correspond to what the Word says. It could just, you know, something could look kind of big, but when you start talking about it, it can start looking really big. And the more you talk about it, now you have this huge issue when really you didn't think it was going to be a big deal when you started talking about it. So we do not want to yield our mouth to glorify the devil. Now, last week we talked about, in this specific area we started, we're going to recap a little bit of what we said and then go further. In the area of sin and failure and mistakes, we have to watch our mouth, what we say in these areas. And I touched on this, and we'll go a little bit further, but I did say this too. We have to now, when we talk about sin, and a lot of people do not want to talk about sin in this day and age, you know, there's no people, that's like almost, people will not talk about that because, well, what's sin? I mean, sin is something of religion and, you know, something some archaic book said, and who said what's sin and not, and that's the problem. So people, anything can go. People think, well, it doesn't matter. It's what do you think? Because what you think is wrong, somebody else might not do. So we've glossed over that a lot, and there's, you know, accountability and responsibility has taken a hit. That aside, when we talk about sin, we have to know not every mistake or failure is sin. So we're going to talk about two areas. We're going to touch on the part about sin, and then talk about, you know, mistakes and failures. But the first thing, just to recap what we said last week so we can go forward, when we talk about sins, we're talking about something that is actually against the Word of God, against what the Spirit of God has prompted you to do, against the Spirit of love. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. He has been shed, the Bible says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, Romans 5:5 says. And when we violate the law of love, that is the New Testament commandment, is to walk in love. So if we take steps out of love, if we violate our conscience, that is sin. But not everything that we do wrong is sin. And so this, what we mentioned last time is we have to differentiate this because some individuals, some people have been brought up, and there are denominations, and doesn't have to be necessarily in a faith, but could be, where people have heard so much about what they've done wrong, that they think everything they do wrong is a sin, and so they're constantly going around confessing their sin. And the problem is sometimes you can get into the mode where you're confessing things that you did wrong that were mistakes as if they're sin and asking God to forgive when there's actually nothing to forgive. And we use this illustration. I can't remember if I did this one specifically, but did we say, like, you know, somebody learning to ride a bike? Is that the one I use? So if a child were learning to ride a bike and he falls off, which how many people in here have learned to ride a bike and you fell off? I remember when I started riding the first bike, we got this bike at a garage sale, and I was thankful to have the bike. It wasn't the greatest bike, but it was a bike. And I remember we had a cul-de-sac, and we lived in a cul-de-sac, and got some of those big concrete bricks, because we lived, I don't know if these were from there or from our garage, but anyway, there was houses in construction, there was stuff just laying out by the street. And so, you know, the big concrete that they use to build foundations with, that they're hollow. They have they look like a, you know, domino. Not a brick, but I mean like a concrete. It's hollow in the middle, and on the outside, you know, it's got like the form. It's all concrete. Those things are heavy. Well, anyway, I put that down because I was too short to my legs wouldn't reach the ground, so I would kick off on that thing. But then, you know, I'm going, and then I inevitably fell. And pretty much everybody, when they learn how to ride a bike, falls, but eventually you learn not to fall. Well, if somebody were learning to ride a bike, a child, and you came up and they fell down, you wouldn't tell them, you need to repent. How dare you fall off your bike? Get before God and ask for forgiveness. Now, the Bible says if you ask, if you confess your sin, He will forgive you. If somebody were to hear an adult telling a child that, that almost without exception would be considered warped, wouldn't it? That's not a sin. That's not something morally they did wrong. But you know what? As silly as that sounds, because of wrong teaching or wrong upbringing, and, you know, all of us, none of us had a perfect upbringing. We all, you know, had varying degrees, but we can get the idea that when I make a mistake, I didn't do everything perfect, but I was trying, but, you know, I didn't do everything perfect, and God, I just didn't glorify you as I should. Well, the Bible says to do everything unto the Lord. It says to glorify God, but it didn't say be perfect. None of us is going to be perfect. And you may be trying your best and doing something that's new or going to work and trying your best, but you didn't say everything exactly right. Or you didn't know in this area, which is why we get good at things over time. You do your best, but you made a mistake. Didn't do everything right. Well, if it wasn't something you did on purpose, that's not a sin. But do you know? A person could be like, oh God, I'm sorry, forgive me because I didn't do that right. And people will probably think, you know, I'm not giving you a good image. You know, as a Christian, I didn't do everything perfect. Well, if you weren't sinning, like you weren't doing something immoral, your heart was right, and you're doing the best you knew how to do, and you made a mistake, that's just like falling off the bike. And that's not when you go and ask God for forgiveness. People will ask God for forgiveness about everything. And what this does, we're talking about a right confession versus a wrong confession, is it builds condemnation and failure and sin consciousness into our spirit. You constantly hear you're doing everything wrong, you won't have faith for anything. So we should not constantly be confessing sin. Now, can you put up 1 John 1:9? Now, this is true. So we need to, if we do make a mistake, then we do need to deal with it. You have 1 John 1:9? First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So not everything we do is going to fall into this category. This doesn't say when you make a mistake, go confess it before God and ask forgiveness. It says if you sin, if you violate your conscience, if you violate light, that's when you do this. But it doesn't mean everything. We're not supposed to be confessing our failures all the time. It says if you confess sin. Now, if we have done something that we did, we knew better, our conscience is bothering us, we knew going in, but we did it anyway, yes, we need, and we're not going totally in depth on this tonight, we're really focusing on the confession part, but this isn't the only scripture in the Bible that talks about confession. It's all throughout the Bible. Confession goes with repentance. Because to turn and turn around, repentance means to change your direction. For you to change, you need to acknowledge where you're going is wrong and what you did is wrong. So that goes hand in hand, and it's throughout the Word. This isn't the only scripture. But the Bible says if we confess or acknowledge our sin, that means, yes, that was wrong. That's what confess means. It's not a religious term. Doesn't mean to go to a certain place and go through some ritual. It just means acknowledge. If we acknowledge our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if we have missed it, if we did do something wrong, and it is something that is actually sin, not we've made a mistake, then we need to go to God. We need to acknowledge it was wrong. Now, we need to do something else. We need to receive His forgiveness. Now, this doesn't, we're not talking about being born again and unborn again. When you're in the family of God, you're born again. When you sin, that doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you've broken fellowship. You did something you knew you shouldn't to do. Your conscience is going to bother you. To get rid of that, we need to acknowledge we did something wrong, but then we need to do something. We need to receive forgiveness and believe this scripture right here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to believe it, and now we don't need to talk about it. And this is an area where we need to know that our mouth makes a difference. If we need to make it right with somebody, then we need to go and talk to them, make it right. You know, if you went off and lipped off to your spouse or your child, well, then we need to say, I blew it. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? But if we've taken it then before God and the person, then we need to go forward and take this verse, believe it, and we don't say, oh, that was so wrong. I can't believe I did that, and talk about it. What that's doing is building condemnation into us. That's setting us up to be faithless, to have no confidence, to go before God. We repeat. You don't repeat what you did wrong over and over. Say how you messed it up. Say how that was dumb. Say how you should have known better. Tell somebody, then tell another person. That is not going to help. What that is doing is saying, Satan, it's glorifying the enemy and what he was able to do, and basically setting us up to do it again. We need to say that I took care of it. Yes, I did that, but thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that I'm forgiven, and thank God that I have the Spirit of God inside me, and He is helping me, and I am going to go forward and expect Him to help me, and we're not intending to fall again. We're not saying we never will, but we're not intending to. We walk and confident. Now I want to read you a few other scriptures. Let's put this one up. Isaiah 43:25. Looked at this last week. Isaiah 43:25. It says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. If God doesn't remember them, see, He can do that. How does He do that? I don't know. He's all-knowing, but He says, I won't remember. Well, does He mean what He said or not? I would think He does. So, if He says, I can't remember it, then we ought not to say it. Now, we're human. We don't have the ability just to, you know, blank something out of our brain. Sometimes we wish we could. So we need to deal with it in the way the Word says to deal with it, and that's to combat it with the Word. We need to come at it. Yes, that was done. Yes, but I have dealt with it, and God said I'm forgiven, and God said He wouldn't remember it, so I am not going to deal with that in my thought life. I am not going to meditate it, and I'm on it, and I'm definitely not going to say anything about it. We confess what the Word says. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. Thank you, God, and thank you that you've cleansed me. Thank you that I'm going forward, and you'll help me going forward. That's what we need to let come out of our mouth. Now, see, it's not easy all the time. It's much easier, and you will be tempted and have help in saying the negative and beating yourself up. There's a reason for that. I'll get to that in a minute. Before we do that, we go ahead and put up Hebrews. Hebrews 8, verse 12. It says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Very similar to what we just read. Another one, Hebrews 10, 16. Hebrews 10, 16. It says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. 1 John 3:20. Let's go ahead and turn there. 1 John 3:20. You can go ahead and turn there. Take a look at it. 1 John 3:20. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now notice that. Verse 20, for if our heart condemns us. Well, you have God Almighty. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in your heart. And He will let you know. Your heart, actually, this says your heart's condemning you. It's the Holy Spirit does not ever condemn you. He will convict you of sin, but it's never a condemning thing. He'll point something out. Son, daughter, you need to change this, you need to do it, but it's an encouraging and it's specific. It is not, you messed up again, what's your problem? And a condemnation means, you know, when you condemn a building, that means to declare unfit for use. When you hear condemnation, enemy will bring condemnation, but your heart, here it says, your heart, it's your own heart condemning you, not the Spirit of God. But it says, if your heart condemns us, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So when our conscience bothers us, there is a way to get rid of it. It's what we just talked about. You go before God and say, God, that was wrong. Forgive me. And the Bible just says, acknowledge your sin. And it says He will forgive you. It doesn't technically say to ask forgiveness, but just out of being polite, I mean, when you go to somebody, typically ask them to forgive you. But the Bible, the Scripture says, acknowledge it, confess it, and He would forgive you. So we need, how do you get rid of your conscience bothering you? By confessing your sin and then believing what He said and going on and accepting forgiveness and then declaring that. That is the only way you're going to be cleansed as far as your conscience being clean. Now, again, you have to know whether you actually did something wrong, because some people think it's their conscience bothering them and it is just a conditioning that they think everything they did is wrong. But if truly we know, we know when we missed it. We know when we, if the more we know the Word, we'll know what is right and wrong. But our spirit will prompt us. If we know we've done something wrong, then our heart's going to bother us. But notice what the next part says. Let's read verse 20 and then we'll go to the next part. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have what? Confidence. See, the enemy is after your confidence. This is not, it's not just about, you know, it's not a big game where Satan is just trying to see that he can get you to sin just so he can say, yippee, I made him sin. It is to get you in a position of having no confidence. Get to trip you up. Your heart's going to bother you. He is going to heap on and accuse you, because that's what he does. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, accuse you and try to get you to where you have no confidence. Now, if you're already feeling like that and now you let it out of your mouth, That is just going to build in condemnation, failure, sin consciousness even more. So you miss it, even if you took care of it. Now we have to do what the Word says and put it behind us, go forward, and believe Him, and believe that we're clean. And then we can walk confident. What we have to know is, if we've put it behind us, if we've done what the Word said and confessed it, it's just as if you never did anything wrong, and we go boldly before the throne if we need something. And if we're saying, oh, I don't know, I missed it, I've done this and this, we are talking ourselves out of God's favor and His blessing. And it is the blood of Jesus, His sacrifice, and us believing on what He did that buys us anything with God in the first place. Amen. Now it is, I didn't say it was easy, but it's what the Word says to do. It's possible, and the more we'll yield to what God said. Say what He said about us when we fail, when we've missed it. We say what He said. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Can you put that one up? It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are a new creation. We are a new creature. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to know that anything that happened before we are saved, that's a different person. We are born again. We are a new creation. Anything that we've done wrong after we get saved, if we've confessed it, then it is just as if we never did anything. We need to say, I'm cleansed, I'm clean, I'm righteous, I'm right with God. God hears my prayers. His face is toward me. He does not remember my sin. And we need to glorify Him in this manner. Speak that. Oh, I know we don't feel like it. When we mess it, it is so easy to beat yourself up. And like we said last time, that is a form of doing penance. And the Bible does not teach penance. Penance is trying to pay for sin yourself. But that's not the gospel. There is forgiveness and cleansing in the blood of Jesus. Instead of confessing and saying how much we missed it, we need to say how powerful the blood of Jesus is and thank God that even in spite of this, even though I missed it, I'm still going to go over. I'm still going to win. I'm still going to be victorious. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:37. It says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We need to say when we feel, when we have failed, when we've missed it, that's the time to say this. And just even me saying this, you can almost feel, how would we say I'm a conqueror? Well, I just blew it. I just got up and I'm all muddy and I missed it. Why would I say I'm a conqueror? Shouldn't I wait a couple days and then I can start, easing up? Because, I just blew it. And, I'll just kind of get up and then, I'm a little timid around God, but in a day, I'll be okay. And then in a couple days, I'll be back. That's legalism. That's works. That is depending on our own ability to be right with God. That's impossible. That's actually an insult to God. To get back up, now I'm not saying we just do the same thing again, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 6. But we missed it. We know we did. We acknowledged it. We said it. Now we get up and say, and once we take care of it, we get up and say, and I am still going to win. I'm still going over. And I know, just even saying it, you can feel the, when I say it, it's like you can feel it because people are conditioned to be like, you just can't get back up and expect things to go well. Ask yourself why. Yeah, but I mean, and if you did something the natural, I mean, that you're going to have to pay for, there are laws and everything. Yes, there's going to, but you can still believe this. That's when we need to get up and say, I'm going to come over. Even with all this, I'm still coming up. But we're conditioned to think, just give it a little time. I mean, God's a little heated. He's mad at you or something. You got to wait. You don't have the right just to get up and go up. You blew it, buddy. You need to go to your room. That's not, what did the Bible say? We read numerous scriptures where it said he forgot. He remembers them no more. Well, is that true or not? Is that the truth? See, our mind doesn't, it boggles our minds because humans aren't like that usually. But if they're walking in the love of God, they'll be more like this. We all will. If we, you know, your spouse, you know, says some stuff to you and you say, and then they say, wait, I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. Well, the more godly we are, the more we'll say, yeah, I know. I've done the same thing. Let's go. Let's have a good day. You can still have a good day. The world would say, oh, no, man, that's worth at least 4 hours apart. Some people are going to go stew. They're going to be apart because that's just the way it is. That's not the Bible. And the more we're walking with the Spirit of God, the more we can get up and do this and say, I'm not saying you presume, you don't, you know, tell your spouse or tell your kid, well, you know, the Bible says this, you ought to go up. No, that's the wrong way. But if you ask for forgiveness and they give that and grant you, we can still have a good time. Well, how much more with the Almighty? Isn't He capable of bringing us over even when we've made mistakes? We should read the Bible. How many people? Look at Peter. I mean, how bad can you mess up? He denied the Christ. But he got up and he was used mightily throughout the early church. Can God bring somebody that's obviously messed up, obviously failed, and yet, I mean, look, example after example in the Word. I mean, David, you couldn't mess up. He messed up royally. I mean, murder and adultery, God still used him. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. So we don't need to let... See, when we are saying and talking about what we failed, we are just declaring that Satan has won instead of the lordship of the Lord of Jesus Christ and saying, wait, there's still hope. He can take me over. Even in this, I didn't mean to do that. That was stupid. I already acknowledge it. But now I'm getting up and going on. That takes a boldness. That takes agreeing with Him. That is a right confession. Amen. Amen. Praise God. One more. Just put this up in closing. 1 Corinthians 15:57. First Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. When you need to, we need to declare this more than any time when we are have just missed it. That is the hardest time to do it. Because your mouth does not want to move that way. It feels foreign if we haven't done it. It feels foreign. It feels like we are just making things up, but we need to know if God said it, we're going to agree with Him and we're going to speak His. That's the time we need it the most, is to speak victory in the face of defeat. Amen. God is faithful. Thank God for the blood of Jesus.